Well, praise God.
Chad, did you find the books? Yeah. For those of you that are in here today, I mean, some of you may have been here for a while and you've already gotten a copy of the book, Take the Bull by the Horns. But if you're not, if you didn't, and you're here this morning and you'd like a copy, they're free to you this morning. So either you can raise your hand right now and wave it around, and our ushers will just bring them to you and give them to you. If you want some more, if you've been giving them away, whatever, just bless everybody. Now, this book we're taking on our Wednesday night services because we're really believing God that to help each and every person to be able to learn the Word of God, to study the Word of God, but to be able to help somebody else. Listen, I want to see each and every one of you all whole and healthy, but I know this from experience that if you become whole and healthy and then you don't do anything about it, okay, you don't sow into somebody else's life, you don't give into somebody else, you're just looking out for you, then you become an island, and then when you become an island, you eventually begin to sink. And you become a dead sea, and all the water in your life becomes stagnant. Listen, it's got to flow. What happens in your life's got to flow. It's got to come in, it's got to go out. It's got to come in, it's got to go out. The bigger flow you have in your life of blessing people, ministering to people, helping people, rescuing an orphan, giving, sowing, then the more you do with that, then the more flow you have in your life, the more blessings in your life. Hello? Y'all with me? Like, I would really like written on my tombstone, and I'm just going to have to, you know, do it, just get there. I don't want to put up a false information, you know, but I'd like to say he gave more than anybody else. Because, yeah, I really want to rescue orphans. I really want to give. I really want to sow. I really want to bless. I really love it that when God does things in my life that is absolutely just outlandishly crazy, bizarre, I had to stop and say, God, how'd you do that? I just give you, for instance, you know, I'm always believing God to sow money. I'm always believing God to sow money. I'm believing God to either bless me financially in my business or something to happen, something crazy to go on. And so the other day, I had forgotten that we always support a college student at Casa Angelina, and it's $5,000 a year. And I'd forgotten about it. I'd forgotten, you know, it's like, I don't know about y'all, but 2014 went by so quick. I just was like, it's the end of the year. Oh, my gosh. You know, and then I began to think of my obligations. And I was like, Lord, I'm sorry. I really forgot about this, you know. And I need $5,000 quick. I need $5,000 quick. Matter of fact, I need $5,000 in 2 weeks, Lord. So I just did what I know to do. I sowed. And then I get this phone call from some people that I know, but they didn't say anything to me, and I hadn't said anything to them about anything. And called me and said, listen, we really messed up. We forgot to, we had some money we wanted to give and before the end of the year was up. So go on last year's taxes, and can you handle it? I said, I'll take money anyway. I mean, just, man, that don't make no difference to me. Just, that's fine with me. Went down there and got it, $5,000. And I was like, Lord, you're so amazing that you just do these things. So let me see how awesome you are. And it was just, it blew me away. And I was like, God, thank you. So, you know, I'm going to put it and say, okay, send the money. Here, we got it. You know, glory to God. It just, you know, but you gotta be wanting to see that I don't want to be a victim in life. I want to be a victor, and I want to teach you and help you to not be victims in life and to be victors. And I want you to learn. And so this book is about taking what you know and what you have learned in your life, but then sharing it with somebody and giving you the ability to take the book and then to share it with somebody else and to help them on their course in life, because then they're going to get blessed and then you're going to get blessed because they got blessed and then they're going to want to bless somebody else. So our Wednesday night services are all about trying to understand how we can minister to people. And so it's a little different than normal church. We have praise and worship, but then we're breaking up into groups and we're doing different things together. And so, you know, come on, be a part of that. Amen. Well, Christy, we still have those slides from last week? Last week. We started this out, and I was going to tell you what we're doing in 2015. And literally 2015 is going to be from victims to victors. All right? I want that slogan stuck in your head, victims to victors. It's kind of hard to say when you say it real fast, but victims to victors. Everybody say victims to victors. Because I'm just sick of people being victims. I see people getting caught up, and they're hung in addictions. They're hung in self-hate. They're hung in bitterness. They're hung in anger. They're hung in, you know, whatever. And it's just their lives are being ruined because they keep making the same mistakes over and over again. And they're just victims. And Jesus never intended you to be a victim. Jesus never intended for you to get hurt or wounded in life that it then caused you to be a victim. You say, well, listen, I ain't going to be a victim. I got hurt once in life. By God, I ain't going to get hurt again. You're a victim. Because the anger and the pain that has come to you in life is now causing you to act a certain way. Hello? And there's not any of us in here in life that have not been wounded. But wounded people wound people. All right? Just like a wounded animal is the most dangerous animal in the forest. All right? And so, I want to see 2015 us be able to help people. I want to see us be healed, but I want to see us help people to get healed. Y'all with me? And so, I'm showing you this morning. So, we're going from the verses. What I wanted to get this into you is Luke 9:42. Luke 9:42 is a story when Jesus was coming down from the Mount of Transfiguration, and he gets down there, and there was the man trying to get his son healed. And the Pharisees, the scribes, the Pharisees, the religious people are arguing with the disciples that they can't heal. And so they're arguing with them there, and the whole time the boy is still sick and the father's still grieving. And that's what makes me mad. When I read that story, what I see is nothing's getting done. They're over here arguing about, could it be done? They're arguing all the religious theology, but nobody's getting the job done. And Jesus comes walking up, and he sees them, and he says, call the boy over there. And verse 42 says, and as he's still coming down, the demon threw him down. He convulsed him, and Jesus rebuked the unclean spirit. He healed the child, and he gave him to the father. And I said I wanted this to be a verse for us for this year. Because what we got to do is three things. We got to stop the enemy in people's lives, our lives and people's lives. We've got to heal the wounds. And we've got to restore relationships back with our Heavenly Father. Folks, listen to me. You all know it. We've all been through this cycle. You get hurt. You get wounded. The wound sets in and gets infected. Causes bitterness. Causes anger. Causes whatever. And then you get off, and then the relationship that gets broken is your relationship with God Almighty, your Heavenly Father. You don't want to go talk to Him because you know that what you've been doing is wrong. Or you're mad at Him because you think He's the one that's caused this. Listen to me, church. I can promise you, when we get to heaven, if I'm wrong, you can slap me down. But I promise you that there is nothing that's ever come about in your life that is wounded you that was caused by God. I promise you. You say, well, God could have delivered me. God could have. Listen, you don't know because of the situations and circumstances and all what that took in free will of man. But I'm telling you one thing. God Almighty never sat there and said, I want to torment Isaac. I want to hurt him. Let's just put the screws to Bruce and see if he'll really love me. Listen. Don't go back there into the Old Testament and live. This is the New Testament. There's a great love with Jesus died on a cross for you to set you free, that you could walk in freedom, you could walk in victory. Okay? And what we want to do and what I want to see is in 2015, I want to see the enemy stopped in your lives. I want to see the wounds healed. And I want to see you restored in your relationship back to your Father so that then you can go and do that to somebody else. Hello? Amen? Okay. So I told you how we're going to do this is in the book of Luke chapter 10, verse 30, story of the Good Samaritan. And I want you just to go there, because let's read it. Luke 10:30. It says, "Now Jesus answered and said, a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and he fell amongst thieves, who stripped him of his clothing, wounded him, and departed, leaving him half dead. Now by chance a certain priest came down the road, and when they saw him, he passed by on the other side. Likewise a Levite, when he arrived at the place, came and he looked, and he passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion." Everybody say he had compassion. Everybody say, "I need more compassion." Look at the person beside you and say, "You need more compassion." So he went to him. He bandaged his wounds. He poured on oil and wine. And he set him on his own animal, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. On the next day when he departed, he took out 2 denarii and gave to the innkeeper and said to him, "Take care of him. Whatever you spend when I come again, I will repay you." So which of these three do you think was a neighbor to him who fell amongst the thieves? Now, if you go read the whole story, the reason why Jesus told this parable is because a scribe came up to him, or a religious person came up to him and said, "What do you got to do to be saved?" And he said, "Well, what do you read?" And he says, "Well, you love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your might, with all your soul, and your neighbor as yourself." And so Jesus said, "Good answer. Just go do it." But then, see, got to his heart, because he's like, "Well, wait a minute. There's a few people, so I'll justify this." He said, "Oh, well, who's my neighbor?" Because he's there. That meant, the minute Jesus said that to him, I guarantee you, conviction came in that guy's heart of somebody he didn't want to be neighborly to. Have you ever had that conversation with God? It's, "Lord, I'll forgive them all, except that one. I'm just not ready to forgive that one." Have you ever been like that? We all have in life. So that's what happened to this guy. He's like, "Oh, man, I need to qualify this, because who's my neighbor? Because, you know, like, maybe my neighbor's only, you know, the guy that lives 2 blocks from me." Let's get this into perspective here, because the other guy lived 4, so I don't really want to forgive him. And so Jesus tells the story of the Good Samaritan. To qualify that guy's question, "Who's my neighbor?" So let's just look at that this morning, okay? Who's your neighbor? Your neighbor's not just the person who lives next to you. Your neighbor is whoever you encounter. Listen to me. People sometimes get all hung up on, "Oh God, what do you want me to do? What do you want me to do? Where do you want me to go? What do you want to..." And I say, "Man, why don't you just chill out and calm down, and then whoever comes across your path that day, just minister to them. And if nobody does, well then, you know, check your stock of oil and wine. Maybe you got something else in your cabinet and you don't have much to minister." I asked my wife if I could say this morning. She told me no, so I won't. But I just came to mind when I was reading this, and I said, you know, you could either have oil and wine, or you could have and vinegar. Figure it out. I didn't say it. So I want in my cabinet oil and wine. I don't want and vinegar. Are y'all with me? Who wants and vinegar poured on a wound? Right? I don't need somebody that's full of and vinegar ministering to me. I've got enough of and vinegar that I have to get rid of in my own life. That's how you preach and don't cuss. Are y'all with me here? He had oil. Listen, the guy, I didn't say it, sweetie. I didn't say it. I'm an obedient husband. Sometimes. When the Samaritan came to the wounded man, he had it on him. He had the oil and the wine. He had it with him. You know, I started looking up. I started doing all this. Sometimes when I'm getting ready to preach and I start thinking, sometimes I kind of lose the spirit of things and start to get into the technical things, and the Lord has to kind of rein me back. And I went into all this deep research about wounds and all this stuff, trying to figure it out, you know, till finally I got myself so confused, I gave up on it. But one thing I learned, okay, about this, is that oil on a wound, because that doesn't make sense. You don't usually say, ah, cut my arm, bring the oil. Right? But one thing that the oil does do, and the reason why they did put oil on and they used oil, because you can get through a whole ton of oils and healing remedies of oils and stuff like this, but I'm just saying, oil lubricates. And oil keeps the wound from becoming hard and crusty to where it can't heal. It keeps it from forming a scab too quickly so that the two parts can't be healed. I thought it was funny. I don't know what site I was on, and I was reading, and it said, wounds. It says, wounds come first from trauma. And I was like, oh, really? I mean, how else do you get a wound? And then it hit me. All of us have had trauma in life. Whatever the trauma may be, however the trauma came, all of us experience trauma in life. And trauma causes wounds. Y'all with me? But if in those wounds, the oil of the Holy Spirit is not poured on and lubricated, what happens is then you just get to be an old scab. Full of and vinegar. I'm preaching really good today. I told y'all we were going to come in this year, we're going to put your workout clothes on. I was going to work you out. And so that's what I'm doing. By the scalpel of the Holy Ghost. God wants your wounds healed. Listen, you can't still be mad at something that happened 30 years ago and be festering over it right now. You need the wound healed. There's no sense living and becoming bitter and angry and having hurts and pains in your life and living in, listen to me, fear, because you may get hurt again. You know, as a carpenter, the very, like you got to understand something. Before I went to becoming a carpenter, my family, we were ranchers, and we had hammers, but we just had hammers to like throw at things and beat on stuff. It was not like we were carpenters by any means. And, you know, like if we were going to do something with wood, you know, we used chainsaws and, you know, large nails and this kind of stuff. We weren't carpenters. And when I went broke and then I had to go to work as a carpenter, I remember within the first week of working, we were putting like quarter-inch plywood up underneath a roof. And in those days, we didn't have nail guns. So we were literally nailing it. Now, if you've ever taken a piece of, you know, thin plywood and held it on your head and tried to hold a nail and nail upside down with a hammer into, you know, the wood, and you've never done this before, you tend to get a lot of hurt, bloody fingers. All right? And this is how I started out as a carpenter. My week is just beating my thumbs off, thinking, is this the right job for me? Right? Nowadays, I don't do anything unless I got a nail gun. My point is, I don't want to keep living my life beating my fingers off. There comes to a time and a place in our lives where we have to look at ourselves and say, look, the wounds have got to be healed. We've got to come to grips with this thing and get the wounds healed so we don't just become an old, miserable scab. You say, well, I kind of grown accustomed to my scab, kind of like it. Well, that's great. I guess you can be happy with that, but you're not being very productive. You're not fulfilling the divine purpose that you were placed on this earth to do. You're not pleasing to the Lord, and you're not going to be productive at all. Hello? Come on. Look at the person beside you and say, I don't know if he's preaching to me or you. See, you could come to church and get some nice little message and, you know, not be challenged or anything. But see, I'm giving you, I want to show you the truth, and then I want to show you what the guy did. Look, he went to him, and he poured on the oil and the wine, but he had the oil and the wine with him. You've got the oil and the wine with you. It's called the Holy Spirit. You've got the oil and the wine with you that can help you minister to people and speak a word to the people. You don't have to have the answer to them. Listen to me. So many people are hurt and wounded. You don't have to have the answer to explain everything and why this and why that. You just got to lead them to the oil and the wine. You just got to lead them to the one that's got bucket fulls of oil and wine that wants to give them abundant life and wants to bless them. His name's Jesus. And you just got to say, look, I don't understand, but I just know this. Jesus loves you and he wants you to help you. Jesus wants to heal your wound. He wants to scratch out all the nasty out of the cut. He wants to deal with that infection. Did you know that and if I'm wrong, Dr. Brown, don't tell me. But in my reading about wounds, is that when you're cut or there's been a trauma or a wound or something like that, and the flesh turns red, it's actually releasing within your own body, and I'll tell you the word, but I can't remember it, that's going to it, that's being like its own antibiotic situation to get rid of the any bacteria or stuff. Is that right? Am I okay there? Okay, hey, yeah, I did it good. So the inflammation you see running at the beginning is your own body trying to heal itself. Are y'all with me? But it came inflamed. So sometimes when you get hurt in life and somebody says something to you or hurts you and inflammation comes in your life, it's not really a bad thing at that moment. But if the antiseptic or the antibiotic isn't applied to the wound and it gets infected, now you got a problem. When I saw that, I read that, I said, oh, okay, Lord, so even naturally, your body gets mad because it got wounded and gets inflamed. So being angry that you got wounded is not a sin. I don't know anybody that would say, oh, thank you for saying that. That cut my heart horribly. Thank you for saying that. I appreciate it. No, you get inflamed. Nobody likes to hear a bad report. I don't like to hear a bad report. I don't like to hear criticalness. I don't like to hear that. I've learned to let it run off my back. I've learned to get over it, but there's some inflammation that comes. And I get inflamed. And then I have to go pray it out. I have to ask the Holy Ghost to put the oil on it and put the wine on it. The truth of His Word, the real truth, because there's only one person we're supposed to be living for in this life to please, and His name is Jesus. He's my Savior. He's my Lord. He bought me. He paid my price. I owe everything to Him. I belong to Him. And if you're saying it about me, I'm just trying to please Him, not you. You see what I'm saying? This is the way you have to live. I want to please Jesus more than I do everybody else. Right? He's the one we're working to please. But I know that if I let a wound come in my life that I don't get healed of, I won't be pleasing to Him because I'm not going to be productive. Because the bottom line is, I just am going to just get tired of people and tired of situations and tired of going through all the motions and just, you know, I don't have any compassion. Compassion runs out my toes. So the answer is we got to get healed. We got to get the wounds healed. We've got to have the oil of the Holy Spirit come into our life and begin to heal us. We've got to not let fear stop us. If you go back and you study the book of Job in chapter 3, verse 25, Job said, "The thing that I feared the most has come upon me." Listen to me. Don't let the thing you fear the most come upon you. Don't get so fearful in life that somebody's going to hurt you again or say something to you again or do this to you again or do that again. Listen, get healed, get strong, and when it comes again, just learn to get healed. Now, the problem with wounds is wounds do cause scars. Right? Wounds do cause scars, but you know, the old saying, chicks dig scars, so hey, what? Don't worry about it. You won't find that in the Bible, but... Scars to me are like bragging points of how God's delivered me. Scars to me are like saying, yeah, look at this one. Open up my chest and say, they tried to gut me right here, and bless God, God delivered me. It's the scar right there. Devil tried to kill my heart, but look at this heart. I had open heart surgery by the Holy Ghost, and I'm healed. The scars of my life, those battles that were fought, the testimony is, hey, it didn't kill me. I'm alive and I'm here. The devil meant to take me out, and the scar on my life is, yes, praise God, it's a banner statement that Jesus delivered me. Right? So many times we let fear come into our life and say, oh gosh, if anybody finds out that I really was angry and wanted to see someone so, you know, boil in a pot of hot water, that's going to look bad upon me. No, it tells us that you're human, but if you're healed over it, now you love that person that you did want boil like a crab. Not that any of y'all have ever had that thought. Are y'all with me? It's a testimony of God's deliverance for you. Too many times we let fear rule our life, and then we begin the things that we fear rule us. And we're not supposed to live in fear. We're supposed to live in what? Faith. Faith is the opposite of fear. You're supposed to live a life of faith saying, you know what? Jesus, you're my peace. You're going to take me through this thing. I'm going to get to the other side of it, and glory be to God, it's going to be great. Because if you live in fear, fear is always going to dominate you. The devil's going to use it against you at every turn. You're going to wake up in the morning, think it's going to be a good day, everything's going to be all right. Boop! A little something's going to jump up. It's going to throw fear into you. As soon as you get that fear, because fear is a lack of faith. I was reading Wednesday night, Ephesians chapter 2. We were all reading it together, and I came to this part about that he himself is our peace. Ephesians 2:14. And as I was looking, I was thinking about, man, you know, I just began to dwell on it, began to chew on it like an old cow chews on her cud, you know, and I just was chewing. I said, man, Lord, isn't that amazing? You're our peace. So that means that we're not supposed to be worried about the future. We're not supposed to be worried about our finances. We're not supposed to be worried about our businesses. We're supposed to just do what you called us to do. And then if we don't know, then see, we can even worry about, are we doing what you called us to do? But if that's what's set before you, you might as well do it because you didn't have anything else to do. See, I live my life pretty simple. If there's something set before me to do it, then I just do it and believe it's God. And if I don't feel right about it, it doesn't look right, or there's a big check and or it doesn't won't ever happen, well, then I just quit doing it. Makes it real simple, Frank. Just do it if it's set before you. I don't need to go dream up something else. You know, the first of the year starting out, I was just praying, Lord, what do you want us to do? You know, these things that are going out and things that are happening, what do you want us to do? And how, da, 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 da. And I don't know this for sure. I haven't made the meetings and done everything, but we may have another orphanage in another country to start working with. You know, I don't know. It just seems like it's kind of popped up. I said, man, well, I'll go check it out. Man, go walk in it. Not scared. See what happens. Go rescue some other kids in another country. Man, that'd be all right. All I'm saying to you, church, is listen to me. You can't do that and you won't do that if you're so full of fear. The wounds of your life have held you back and you're not going to venture into it because you're scared you're going to get hurt. All men aren't jerks. All women are not bad. Everybody's crazy. But you can live with crazy. Are y'all with me? Ain't nobody perfect. But you can't let fear rule your life. You need to ask yourself the question today, are you letting fear rule your life? And if you're letting fear rule your life, then you have a wound in your life that's not been healed. It's that simple. One of the hardest things that have ever come upon us in our lives, or myself, is going broke. There's so many people that came out of the Depression era that they lived their life hoarding pennies even though things got better because that formed their life. And going broke was a horrible thing for anybody to walk through. To have absolutely everything that you have gone and taken and to have nothing and to be just literally destitute, it's a horrible thing. And I know what it's like. And there's once in a while, I get fearful. I have to stop myself and say, whoa, wait a minute. God, you're my peace. You're my source. Lord, you take care of me. What am I thinking about? No matter what, even if if the whole world goes to pieces, as long as I've got more 45 shells than everybody else, I'll be okay. Redneck's got to pacify himself somehow, So. Buy another case. All I'm saying is, church, listen to me. If fear rules your life, you've got some wounds that you're not healed of. You remember the story of Esther? When Haman got the law passed that they were going to kill all the Jews, and Mordecai, who was Esther's adopted father, went to her and said, look, you're queen and you got to go before the king. But, if he didn't put down the golden scepter for her, well, then she was going to be killed. And he said, wait a minute. Have you thought about this? That maybe this is the time in life that you were born in for this purpose? To be able to walk into this? So she had to overcome fear. She had to overcome the fear of dying in order to save her people. Well, listen to me. You've got to overcome the fears of your life and be healed of the wounds in your life so that we can help these other victims in life become whole. Because it's not my responsibility because I don't know them. You know them. You go around people all the time. I don't know who your friends are. If your friend comes to church here, I might know who they are, but you go and have a whole, every one of us have our own worlds of association with people out there that you're out in there talking to, and those are the places you're going to find the wounded people in life that you're supposed to be the Good Samaritan to. And you got to have the oil and the wine in you, and the only way you're going to have that, if you're healed of your own wounds, to give to them and say, life's not all that bad. Jesus is good. You need to understand what I've come through in life and what Jesus delivered me from, that you're giving them oil and wine when you're doing that. Hello? Now, another scripture here, as I'm getting ready to close up here, I'll just hang on. Matthew 25. Let's just read it. Matthew 25, 1. It says, in the kingdom of heaven shall be likened to 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. Now, 5 of them were wise and 5 were foolish. Those who were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels and their lamps. But while the bridegroom was delayed, they all slumbered and slept. Listen, put a new light on this verse. What if the virgins, the 5 were just 5 who got healed and were whole? And the other 5 were just, they didn't take any oil with them. They were just wounded. So when the bridegroom showed up, they didn't have any oil. I'm not saying if you don't get healed of the wounds in your life, you're going to go to hell. That's not what I'm saying. I'm just saying if this example of this parable Jesus told, if you're wounded and you don't have any oil with you, when the opportunity shows up, you got nothing to give. Remember, you're not full of oil and wine, you're full of vinegar. So the parable of the 10 virgins could be you. Which are you? Is your lamp full? You know, is your lamp full? Or you got no oil? Is your life full of faith? Or is your life full of fear? Remember, Job said the thing that he feared the most came upon him. Second Corinthians 5:17 says that you're a new creature. All the old things have passed away, and all behold, all the things have become new. If God can make you new creatures, God can heal your hearts. It takes time, right? Wounds don't just get healed instantaneously. I can honestly say to you that there was a day in my life that I was driving down the road, and it had been a couple of years after we had lost everything, and I was driving down the road, and I just said to the Lord, Lord, I can't take it anymore. My brokenheartedness over losing the ranch. I can't take it anymore. It hurts. And I just ask you to just set me free. And as God is my witness, driving down that road, it was like Jesus is sitting in the cab of the truck with me for a little bit. And by the time I got to the house, I was healed. And all I can say is those things like that, he can heal instantly. It seems to me that relationships with people are harder. And I think it's because you're faced with the reality of seeing the person or having contact with them or whatever on a continual basis. But God can heal it. He can heal it. If you're willing to let him heal it. Now, what if the wounded man would have told the Samaritan, get away from me, man. Don't talk to me. Get up, God, just leave me alone. I don't want to have anything. Just God will live. And he just walked off naked and cut up. Samaritan couldn't have done anything for him. The thing that you got to realize in life is the people that God puts in our path, just because they're wounded, they may not be ready for ministry. When Jesus said, don't cast your pearls before swine, what he was talking about was simply that. You're trying to get somebody to receive from the Lord when they don't really want to anyway. And it's not their window of opportunity or their timing. It's not their place in life. It's not their moment. And you have to just love them and go on. But the ones that are there that are wounded that won't help, glory to God, we got to have the oil for them. We got to have the wine for them. We got to have the teaching of God's word, the truth to be able to share with them. And we got to be whole. Now, I want to say one more thing and then I want to pray for you. Have you ever noticed that, I mean, maybe this is kind of gross, but have you ever noticed that when you've cut your hand or you've cut yourself and you've got a scab that you just can't leave it alone? That there's something on the inside of you that just compels you to pick at it? From your looks on your face, I know that I'm right. But I want you to know something. When you stay focused on the wound of your life, okay, you draw inward. And you got your eyes in the wrong position. And you won't get healed. But when you take your eyes off the wound and put your eyes on Jesus, and you start looking to him and saying, Lord, I want to be healed of this. I want you to heal me. I look to you. God, you are so wonderful. You are so great. You are a great God. When you start looking at how great he is, how much he loves you, how much he abundantly wants to pour out on you, not, why did this happen to me? Oh, poor, pitiful me. Well, this shouldn't have happened. This has hurt me, da-da-da. And you just start focusing on him. That's when the oil starts to come in and starts to heal your wound. When you start to learn how great he is and focus on that, the oil starts to flow. the oil just comes in and starts to flow. And that's what we all need. Amen. So, check your heart. Wherever you're in fear, you got a wound that's not healed because you're not in faith. If you've got a wound that's not healed, then ask yourself the question, where are my eyes focused? Where are my eyes focused? Because that's what releases that anointing to come down into your life and begin to heal you. Amen? Amen. Well, put your Bibles up. And stand up, if you would. Can I have my prayer team come down today? I want to pray for you. But if you need prayer for anything else specific in life, and you want a prayer team to pray with you, well, then they're here, equipped and ready to pour out some oil on your wounds in life. But I want you just to, I'm just going to generally pray over everybody here. For those of you watching by video or listening by audio, I just want you to understand something. Jesus loves you. He wants to touch you. He wants to heal you no matter where you are. If you get hold of this prayer and let it come into your life, He'll change you. He'll set you free. So church, I want you just to look into your own hearts, and I want to pray right now. And if you need this prayer, then grab hold of it. Father, right now in Jesus' name, I just ask you to begin to minister to every person here. Lord, to release the oil and the wine into their lives. To begin to heal them of the wounds of their life. Whatever's happened in their life, whatever's caused this trauma, that Lord, that you just begin to heal them as they focus their eyes upon you, as they begin to look to you, Jesus. And to see how great you are and how wonderful you are, and begin to just love you. I thank you, Lord, that oil begins to flow into their lives right now. That you just begin to pour yourself into their lives and minister to them and heal those wounds so that they can, Lord, go on and be complete and help others that are victims to become victors. And see your deliverance in their hands. Can show forth the scars of their life and say, look what God has delivered me from. Look what He has set me free from. Lord, I thank you for it. I praise you for it. I thank you for it, Lord. Now grab that person's hand beside you. And let's set our agreement on this. Lord, right now we just agree on that person on our left and our right. Lord, we just set our agreement with them that their wounds are going to be healed. That their hearts are going to be healed. That all, Lord God, the oil and the wine begin to flow into their lives and set them free. That, Lord, that they are blessed this day. That we go forth out into this world and have the eyes and the heart to be able to see those around us that are hurting and to be able to minister oil to them. Lord, I praise you for it. I thank you for it. Now bless them, Lord. Bless them, Lord. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen and amen. God bless you, church. We're here to pray for you. Don't forget, if you don't have one of the books, grab one as you go out. God bless you, and I'll see you later.